The statistics say that about 50% of married couples end up in divorce. Well, that surely is old news. We've heard that before. But the experience afterward is something rarely discussed in financial circles, especially with regard to the impact on women. My next guest discusses it and writes about it all the time in a very intelligent manner. Stacey Freeman is a writer, blogger, a divorced single mom, entrepreneur, and a person that knows how to ask and answer the right questions. She's currently the lifestyle editor for Worthy.com, has been connecting with divorced moms across the country through the Worthy Living blog. I'd like to welcome her to the show. Hey, Stacey, welcome.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Let's start on a positive note. You know, WorthyLiving.com or Worthy.com just had a recent study that showed that women are actually pretty savvy when it comes to money. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, at Worthy, we conducted this survey, and what we found was women actually answered that they didn't feel confident about how they handled money. But once the results were analyzed, it turns out that women actually do know more than they thought.
Yeah. I'm a financial planner, and I see that a lot. I think a lot of people come in thinking they don't really know that much, but maybe the statistics tell a different story. That's very, very interesting. So they know, in general, based on this, they know a lot, but I think a lot of them find themselves overwhelmed. And there's an emotional impact to the questions about surrounding money. Give us some examples of that.
Well, I know from my personal experience, during my marriage, I handled our finances pretty much within about 6 months of getting married. I got married very young. I was still in school, and my then husband had gone out to work, and he literally could not get to paying the bills. He wasn't home. So I took on that job in our household and began managing our personal finances. I analyzed them to the umpteenth degree all throughout our marriage. I had spreadsheets, really analyzed our budget, and then I was suddenly divorced, suddenly separated when I turned 39, and I couldn't focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was focusing on everything else besides that.
Sure.
The divorce process, my children.
Yeah.
And I let things kind of, you know, fall by the wayside. I wasn't opening the mail. You know, I like to say the squeaky wheel was getting the grease, so whoever was asking me for money was the one who got paid.
Yeah.
And that's really not the way to handle your finances.
Yeah, so you're overwhelmed during that period. There's a lot going on, especially emotionally. But, you know, you did have a little bit of a head start in the fact that you were actually crunching the numbers, you know, while you were married. So you had a pretty good idea of what you guys were spending. So when you came to the divorce proceedings, that was pretty easy for you, right?
Yeah, I actually had it all set up because I had analyzed our household budget using an Excel spreadsheet and knew pretty much where every dollar was going.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a head start preparing that case information statement for my divorce.
One of the blogs that you wrote was about the budget challenges that divorced women now face themselves, especially if there's children involved. What are some tips that you wrote about that you can offer or solutions that you discovered in order to get your budget in order?
Well, you know, once I got separated, I had to start living on, I hate to say a fixed income, but, you know, I had a set amount of money each month, and it, you know, it had to be distributed to clothing, to household expenses, and I really had to make sure that there was enough money to pay for each of these areas of my life. So I had to look and see, you know, where I needed to cut back, and I couldn't live the same lifestyle that I had been living. So some of the things that I looked at, which I figured, you know, I can live without, was going out to eat as many times during the week as we had when I was married. I started making my coffee at home, saving myself over $1,600 a year.
Wow.
One of the first things I did was cancel my gym membership because all I felt I needed was a few weights, a pair of sneakers, and I was good to go.
Okay.
I started buying cheaper makeup, just because I had gotten tips from people along, you know, through the years. I didn't need to spend $30 on a mascara. It wasn't necessary, and who would know what I was wearing anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I stopped going to big box stores. I just started watching sales at the supermarket and stocking up when things were on sale. And then, of course, I started looking around my house for things that I didn't need anymore or didn't want anymore, like clothing, shoes. People have sold diamond jewelry.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, you know, you're not wearing your engagement ring anymore. It's sitting in a drawer. Right. And yes, there may be some sentimental attachment to it, but as time passes, you know, you might want to repurpose it and use that money for something that will further your future.
Yeah. You know, we all, if you think about it, we all live on fixed income. I mean, unless somehow we're just, you know, infinitely wealthy, but every single one of us lives on a fixed income. So these ideas are really do relate. We can all relate to them across all of our lifestyles. I think the key here, though, is that, you know, you had a lifestyle with maybe two incomes. Now you're a lifestyle with one income. And I'd like to hear your thoughts about how you manage this idea that you're setting priorities for your daily living, taking care of your children. And yet, in the meantime, you have to think about, well, how is college going to get paid? How am I going to set aside a retirement income? What thought processes did you go through for that?
Well, to correct you on one point,
sure.
I did not work outside the home during my marriage.
Okay.
So that was one of the challenges that I faced mm-hmm. after becoming separated. So I really had to focus on, A, how to manage my money that I had coming in from spousal support, and then I had to supplement it. So
you had to go out and find something.
I did.
To earn a living. I want to talk about that in a minute. You know, there was one thing that you wrote in one of your blogs that caught my attention. It says, you have to decide, you're sitting there, you have a limited budget, decide between yoga lessons, credit card payments, and a dress wanted by your daughter. How do you handle that kind of situation?
Okay, so this is real life. So you really, that bill is sitting in front of you, but then so is your child. And it's very difficult to tell a kid, you know, hey, you can't have this because we don't have the money, because we're now, you know, divorced, your parents aren't married, and there's a limited amount of money. It's very difficult, you know, in real life to turn to your child and say, you can't have this. So you have to look at the big picture. Where can I get this money from with what I have? So, you know, a great way is to sell things around your house. I don't need this anymore. I don't need my engagement ring. I'm not wearing it. I don't need that expensive pair of shoes. That bag is out of style. So get rid of that, cut from certain areas, and then lo and behold, the money appears. And then you can use it for something that's more pressing or something that you want and will enjoy.
Yeah. An interesting answer. So getting back to this idea that you're now handling the present, you know, it's not easy from what you're describing to make these changes. Some of them must be pretty gut-wrenching. But you're also thinking about college in the future and your own retirement. How did you handle that?
So I analyzed with my financial advisor what I had and what I still needed. So I have set up smaller funds and, you know, targeted those areas that I need to supplement. And just as I cut from certain areas, I now have redistributed into the areas that are still lacking.
Mm-hmm. So college fund, you set up a 529 or something?
Well, we had set up 529s when each child was born mm-hmm. and had put in a little bit here and there, as well as saving regularly. So, you know, even if your child is 15 and you think, oh my God, I'm only 3 years away, what can I do now? The money adds up quickly. So even if you're putting in that birthday present from the grandparents or, you know, money that they got for a religious event or whatever, it adds up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You can't look at it like, oh, well, I didn't do this in the past. You know, you have to look forward.
Yeah, there is a snowball effect. I tell people who haven't saved and they start saving, and I said 1,000 becomes 5 before you know it. Becomes 10. I mean, you just keep doing it. You keep at it. It's amazing how fast this can accumulate. Just like debt on the bad side of things, debt can accumulate really fast too, but so can savings. So, you know, don't ever forget that. I think that's a very good lesson. My guest is Stacy Freeman, writer, blogger, divorced single mom, entrepreneur, and the lifestyle editor for Worthy.com. and she has her Worthy Living blog. So you did something that I thought was pretty unusual, Stacy. When you decided to go back to work, you just didn't look for any job. You decided to pursue life's passion, which I thought was pretty risky and pretty brave. Tell us about that.
You know, I had to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And obviously, divorce is a big life change. And my overarching goal was to be happy. And I loved writing, always, even as a young child. And that is what I wanted to do. And I had to figure out how to monetize it. So I had sat down and started a blog, got my name out there, and developed a business plan. And within a few years, I now have a growing business, and once my children are out of the house, something I can continue to grow as the years go by. You know, I have something for now and for my future.
You must have run into some obstacles. You know, the social media world is populated by a lot of younger people. So I'm thinking you probably went in thinking, well, you know, am I going to be able to compete against, you know, those who were brought up with this social media and, you know, blogging and the like? So I think you said to yourself, you're not getting any younger. What did you do about that?
I kind of looked at what I had done in the past. And I think that many stay-at-home moms don't realize how much they have done. And if you just take a step back and look, you've been managing your household budget. You've mm-hmm. been running events at your children's school. You've been doing a lot. And those skills can be transitioned into your work life. So I think it's just, first you have to look back and say, okay, what have I done? What am I good at? And how am I going to now utilize this in my new life?
Not all work experience happens in an office, I think.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
So, you know, you talked about monetizing this blog. There's a lot of people with blogs who wonder how to monetize it. How do you get money for something like this? What were some of the first steps you took to start getting some income from your blog?
I never really monetized the actual blog. I used it to promote my own brand.
Oh.
So I used it as a way to showcase my skills, and then I went from there. But I never actually, there are people who do make money from the blog itself through advertising and other means, but that was not my plan.
So you hooked up with an established site, and as I introduced earlier, worthy.com. Is that what you're talking about?
A few years ago, I did start my own blog. This is actually the byproduct of the work that I have done over the past few years. So once I was able to write and get myself published on larger platforms, not just my blog, but on more national platforms, my name got out there. And Worthy came to me and said, hey, you know, we've been reading some of your things, some of your articles, and will you come and write for us and continue the message that you've been putting out there for divorced women and telling your story?
Oh, that must have been pretty exciting.
It was so exciting. And yeah. It's very gratifying to know that the work I have done, first of all, is helping other people, and that I'm being recognized for it. So you really, if you set your mind to anything and you're doing what you love, what your passion is, really the sky is the limit.
You know, we're getting back to this idea about women entering the workforce later. I mean, you're wiser because you have all these years' experience behind you. You're bolder because you failed and succeeded so many times before. You knew what some of the risks are. Now, being young has certain advantages because when you're young, you don't know that you can't do things. And
right.
A lot of those things turn out to be successful because everybody thought, oh, you can't do that, but you're young, you didn't know any better. But you know, being older and having more experience helps you to also focus your time, not make so many mistakes.
I've made plenty of mistakes. I think the key is to, you know, look at the mistake, you know, realize, you know, what can I learn from it, and just not let it get you down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've made plenty of mistakes. That's how you learn. That's how you figure out what you're good at and what you're not.
Absolutely. A personal look at the life of Stacy Freeman and how she basically came out of divorce and established a new life for herself, got her budget under control, and then writes about it quite frequently at worthy.com, and it's her Worthy Living blog. Stacy Freeman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was so nice to be here.
To find out more about Stacey Freeman and to hear this interview again, don't forget to join the conversation at stevepomerantz.com.